This series that we're in the middle of, as you know, if you were here last week, I preached about Naomi. The book of Ruth is an incredible little story. And as I mentioned last week, it's taken out of the context of the book of Judges. And in the Bible, you'll see the book of Judges and the book of Ruth. And in the midst of the book of Judges, which is a terrible declaration of how bad things can get, the very last verse of the very last chapter of the book of Judges says, every person did that which was right in their own eyes, and it was terrible what they were doing. In that culture, and the Lord will just really put it on my heart, that it is so similar to the culture that we live today. We live in a culture today that has pretty well rejected the Lord and rejected His Word. As a matter of fact, I shared with First Service, I looked at the news this morning, and I don't know anything about GQ magazine. I don't know if it's for young folks, older folks. I don't know what it is, but this is what I know, is that the editor of that magazine, they listed the 21 books they feel like ought to be eliminated from our society, and one of them was the Bible. They have declared the Bible to be irrelevant, and though not to proclaim that everyone burn their Bibles, they did say they ought to digitally burn your Bibles. That's what they said. And that's the culture we live in. But I believe that Christians can make a difference in that culture. Amen? And that's what the book of Ruth is. So I'm praying that that editor will get saved, give his heart to God. But I don't know about you, but if you get that magazine or whatever, I wouldn't get it again. I'd just stop. That crosses the line for me. All right? But I told that to Cheryl this morning, and she said, well, when they've been gone a long time, the Bible's still going to be around. Amen. Matter of fact, how many brought your Bibles today? Lift them up. Let's see the Bible. How many know this thing will stand forever? Amen? Amen. So, out of the culture that we live, we can make a difference. And Shireen is going to talk to us about that this morning. So, sweetie, thank you. Appreciate my daughter and son-in-law and their ministry here at the church. So, the mic is yours. And I'm going out in the foyer, not because I don't want to listen, but I'm going to let our foyer people come in to listen, and I'll take their place out there. But I was here in First Service, and it was a winner. And if you don't do that second service, then we'll re-examine your position here. So.
All righty, then. Let's pray. No, let's go home. No. Our whole family was sick last Sunday, so I was able to listen to my dad's message online, and it was actually quite cool because I could pause him, write a page of notes, put it back on, and rewind if I missed something. And so maybe I just might start doing that every week. You get really good notes that way. But yeah, I love that we have that available to us. But Dad did a marvelous job setting up the book of Ruth and showing us the context from which this book comes. And I love this book because it's really conversational. And for anything like me, as you begin reading it, you can just kind of see the players play out as if it's a movie. And I just love that because when I read scripture, I always try to put myself in the story. Where would I be? Who would I be in this? If this were to happen in today's day, where would I be in this story? So I invite you to do the same. Really put yourself in this story and ask, if I were Naomi or if I were Elimelech, would I have done the same? Like Pastor said last week, trying to get their family food. And Elimelech over the years, like Pastor said also, he's gotten a really bad rep. But how many of us would have done the same for our family? In a famine, would we have not gone somewhere where we could feed our family? And then when Naomi suffers loss, like we cannot even begin to imagine. Not only her husband, but her two sons. Would we have not acted the same way? Hurtful and bitter. And all of that. But I'm going to bring out some points about that later. But the thing that I love really about this book, and I've studied this book, and even in my study, there's so much that I don't know. There's so much yet to uncover. So I hope you didn't come today thinking that we were just going to unpack every single thing in the book of Ruth, because that is not why we're here. We don't have time in the day, the week, the month, or probably the year to unpack everything. There's so much in here that is a cultural thing. And you got to understand the times that they were living in. You got to understand the culture of the Jewish people in order to fully comprehend why did Naomi tell her to do that. And that's weird. And yes, it is weird because we don't do that here. And so just I hope it propels you into a really deep study of the book of Ruth. And Eddie can come next week and answer all the questions, all of them. That's his job. So if he doesn't, I become the favorite child. So I do my job, and he doesn't do his. No, I'm kidding. I'm setting myself up for him to take shots at me next week, so I got to get all of mine in. For those of you that may not know, Eddie is my brother, my older brother, who terrorized me as a child. So this is my opportunity to finally not even get back at him. No, it is such an honor, really, to share the pulpit, not only with my dad, but with my brother. And I went back to Eddie while my dad was giving announcements. I said, wait a minute, so the three of us are doing this series together, so is dad the good, I'm the bad, and you're the ugly? And like only a sister can. He was like, seriously? So that's what you're in for today. This is the bad sermon, okay? No, I'm just kidding. Ruth, turn in your Bibles to the book of Ruth. And if you don't have a Bible, if you got one on your phone, use that. Or if you need one, there's some in the pocket in front of you. The ones in the pockets are a New Living Translation. I love that translation. I will be using NIV. Yep, it's NIV. And I just want to talk a little bit, not to re-preach pastor's message. I'm not going to do that. But in order to understand Ruth, you got to understand a couple things about Naomi. And as I was reading this, and talking with my mom too, my mom said, it's crazy to me to think that even as bad a rap as Naomi gets for being bitter, yet in that, Ruth still went with her. So for 10 years, Ruth saw on a daily basis someone, Naomi, who lived the right way, made the right choice, did the right thing. For 10 years, that's got to have a mark on somebody. Everything Ruth would ever, at this point of time, that all she knew about God, all she knew about the children of Israel, stemmed from her day in and day out life with Naomi. And we're going to get to the point in the story where Ruth gives this oath to Naomi. And where it's not just a pretty little thing she's telling her. She is devoting her life. She is choosing. Ruth is choosing to walk away from her family, her heritage, her culture, her religion, her everything. And choosing to step in line with Naomi and her culture, her religion, her people, her everything. And Ruth knew she had to count that cost. So how did Naomi live for 10 years in order for Ruth to trust that that was the right decision to make? Here's the thing. When it comes to, Jim, can you just put the sermon graphic up there? I'm going to reference that a lot. When I see something like this, doing the right thing, making the right choice, living the right way, automatically I say, how? How can I? And then I would answer myself with, well, how did Ruth? How did Naomi? Because here was the cycle. The cycle of the children of Israel in the book of Judges. Pastor read that, referenced that verse that says, everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. What was right for you is not right for me. It's not right for them, but they think it's right. That's where we live. There's no absolute truth. There was no sense of morality. If you thought it was right and you felt it was right, then it was right for you. Does that not sound like where we live today? Does that not sound like every post you see on Instagram or Facebook or whatever other social media that's out there? And people want you to accept their version of right while they lambast your version of right. And it's just this confusing thing, and it doesn't make sense. And you realize, when you read the book of Judges, it's one of the saddest books in the Bible to me. There's some horrific stories in there. But you just see the depravity of man when we don't have an absolute truth. When we don't have the right, capital R, way to live. And that right way, Jesus told us what it was. Jesus said, because you can't live the right way and do the right thing and make the right choice without truth. Because what are you going to base that right thing on? You've got to base it on something that's substantial, something that's foundational, something that isn't going to be shaken and isn't going to move. That's why things are so messed up in the book of Judges. That's why things are so messed up in our world. Because people are basing right and wrong on something that's movable, something that's shakable, something that isn't firm and secure. But when you choose to define right and wrong based on something that is firm, that is secure, that isn't going to move, no matter what they try to do to it, it will stand true and it will still be around. When you live that way, big things happen. Advances are made in the kingdom of God. And it's a sad reality, but I hope you're encouraged today. What my dad said about GQ magazine, that's horrible. Who would have thought that we would be living in a day where that would be a threat in our country? Who would have thought? Growing up, I heard so many stories of missionaries and people on the other side of the world that had one single page of scripture. That's all they had. And they cherished it and they loved that. And I thought, man, I do not love my Bible like they love that one page they get. Or reading the stories of the people who would smuggle Bibles into the country. And I thought, Jesus, please help me never take for granted the multiple Bibles I have in one room of my house. When there are people in this world that are having to sew scripture into the linings of their clothes or smuggle them some way in or get just a section this big of scripture. May I treasure this as much as they treasure that maybe not even a sentence they have. But that's the thing. That's how powerful the Word of God is. That's how powerful this thing is. No other book has come against such strong opposition where countless times they have threatened to take it out of a society, burn it, get rid of it. But you know what? They may take the physical Bible, but this tells us to hide it in our heart. They can't take that away from you. They can't. A lot of our young adults are of the age now to get tattoos, and I would never get one because I faint at the sight of needles, right? But I love, they put like scripture. You can't take that away. I'm not endorsing them. I'm not saying everyone go get one, but I'm not saying that. But Larry would be up here all tatted up and everything. But think of it. If it is stuck in your heart, if you're living it day in and day out, no one can take that away from you. No one can take that away from you. And the word needs to be so precious and such a treasure to us. And I hope if you hate everything else I say, just walk away with this. Treasure the word. Cherish the word. Let it be the life that it is to you. There's a lot we don't understand. That's why we study. And even in study, I had a professor in Bible college who said he had studied at that point 50 years. And he's like, there's so much I don't know. And I thought, that's disheartening. But it's exciting. It's exciting. It never, ever grows old. So we have Ruth and Naomi. And Naomi lived in such a way that it caused Ruth to make this huge declaration. So let's read this. Let me set up this part for you. Don't worry, Eddie is finishing, even though we're still only in chapter one. Eddie will finish next week. We're not going to carry this out for like 6 years. But we have in chapter one, verse 11, Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons?" So let me just set this up. So Naomi decides to make the trip back to Bethlehem. And the girls just pack up in tow and go with her. And here's the thing. I don't know about you, But the times in my life where I've been super hurt and that has led to bitterness, it has also led to selfishness. Anybody else agree you're like that, or is it just me standing up here alone? Okay, I got a few, okay? But bitterness does, it can lead to selfishness. And yet in Naomi's bitterness, she has this moment, and I'm going to just try to paint this picture because this is how I see scripture. I see them walking on this road, and then all of a sudden, Naomi's stopping. And the girl's saying, are you okay? What's going on? What do you need? Do you need something? And her just stopping, turning around to them, and just looking at them, maybe tears in her eyes, and in her heart, in her mind, saying, I can't make them come with me. Selfishly, I want them to. Selfishly, I want them to take care of me, but in my heart of hearts, as hurt as I am, as bitter as I am at God, I cannot ask them to do this. In Ruth's mind, they had a better chance at life if they went back to their mother's house. They had a better chance of finding another husband, having babies, raising a family, having a legacy. She knew if they came with her, it quite possibly would cost them their life. So, in my opinion, in her unselfishness, she releases them. Go. And not just a release. She is like emphatically telling them and trying to convince them, go. Here's all the reasons why. Go. Here's some more reasons why. Go. Don't argue with me. Don't talk back. Just go. Go, 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 go. And here's the picture that I see. You know those movies where there's a little girl and a horse? And maybe the horse is wild, and all of a sudden the wild horse comes and just happens upon this ranch where this sweet little girl finds the horse on a walk. And they become the best of friends, and the wild horse is so calm, and they're just like, it's like they're one. They can read each other's minds, and it's just beautiful, like horse and the horse's girl, and it's so pretty. And then the parents come, and they're starting to see some of the wild behavior, and I don't know if this is an actual movie, but maybe it should be. And the parents come to their daughter, and they know it's going to break her heart, but they're like, sweetie, we can't cage a wild horse. We have to let the horse go. It needs to go back into the wild. And the little girl with tears just streaming, Daddy, don't make me know. It's my best friend. Get a tissue. You know, and you're watching and you're crying. And you're like, don't send the horse away. No. And it's just tearing up this little girl. Come on. You feel me? You feel me? And so the little girl, she's like, okay, I get it. I understand. I know. And so she walks out, and the music is the symphony, and it's this somber, and it's this build-up moment. They're walking together, and she's petting the horse, and they get to this point, and she's like, go. Go. And she's crying, and the horse, go, and the horse comes back, and they have a moment. No. And she pushes the horse away. You have to go. Oh, come on, people. This is good. There's no tears. Is anyone crying? Sally's crying, Abby's crying, and the horse runs off, and she's crying, and the horse is free, and then the horse stops, and the horse turns, as if to say, I'll be okay, and off the horse goes. But that little girl has to, like, no, go, get out of here, be gone. That's how I picture Naomi. Seriously, I picture Naomi like, no, go. You have to go. There's no more sons in my womb. I have no life to give you. Not at all. You are better off if you go back. Go. And the girls are crying. And they hug again. And then she's like, no, go. You got to just go. Just go. And then Orpah goes. So now you have a glimpse into what reading the Bible is like for me. It's seriously, it's truly like that. And she goes. And then Ruth stays. And Naomi's probably ticked. She's probably like, listen to your mother. I said, go. And Ruth, I mean, you could see the movie. Ruth comes at her and it says Ruth clung to her. Orpah hugged and walked off. Ruth clung to her. Do you know what I see when I read that? You know when your kids or your nieces or your nephews or whatever grab onto your ankles and they want you to walk like that, and then you've done that for like 15 minutes and you can't feel your legs and you're trying to like shake them off. They're like, no, 17 more times. That's what I picture here. Ruth's like, I'm not leaving. I'm not going. And Naomi's like, hugs over. Hugs down. I'm not going. I'm not doing it. I'm stuck with you. I'm stuck. And Naomi's like, oh, we're still hugging. Okay, go, go. And Ruth, it says, clung to her. And then Ruth says this. Chapter 1, verse 16. Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. Verse 18. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging. At some point, Naomi was like, I got it. And here's what I think. At what point did Ruth know she was going to go with Naomi? Furthermore, at what point did Almighty God become Ruth's God? Naomi, for 10 years, day in and day out, did her best to do the right thing, make the right choice, and live the right way. She did her best to teach these two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, the ways of Almighty God and how it was so contrast to the gods that they served. She did her best, in my opinion, to just make the small, daily, day in, day out, right choices. And what that eventually led to was Ruth coming to a saving knowledge of Almighty God, so much so that this was not even an option to go back. It was not even an option to turn away. She was here, blood, sweat, and tears. I am with you. I'm not going anywhere. Your God is my God. Your people's my people. And quite frankly, I realize I'm going to die where we're going. But it doesn't matter to me. I'm going. What did Ruth see in Naomi that caused such a determination in her spirit to live for God? See, you may not think you're doing a good enough job of being a light in the darkness, because we all know that darkness doesn't drive out darkness. Light drives out darkness. People get far and far away from God one compromise at a time. This may be the soapbox that I live and die on, I'm not sure. We have a generation that wants everything right here, right now. They don't want to have to work for it. None of you in this room, just the ones out there. It's none of you. They don't want to work for it, or if they do work for it, they don't want to work long for it before they reap the benefits of it. And I've had some conversations with young people. They want a reputation like my father has in our town. And I look at them point blank and I said, do you know how old he is? Well, yeah. Do you know how long he's been in this town? Well, yeah. Do you know that he has worked day in and day out to build that reputation that you so admire every single day he's been here? Well, yeah. That didn't happen overnight. A good reputation doesn't happen overnight. It's built on a lifetime of doing the right thing, making the right choice, and living the right way. It's when you do mess up, making it right quickly. Asking for forgiveness quickly, making what I often tell, they are so sick and tired of hearing me say this. I'll get on the phone with a young person and they'll tell me I made a wrong choice and I shouldn't have done this and I went there and I shouldn't have gone and I said this, I shouldn't have said that, and I look in or hear the phone or text or whatever and I say, there is still time to redeem the day. Because that same mindset is, once I screw up, I've screwed up everything. Once I make a mistake, I've made a mistake of my entire life, and that's not the God we serve. Look in the book of Judges. They serve God. They love God. They forgot God. They served Baal. They came under oppression. They cried out to God. God sent a judge or a champion to deliver them. They loved God. They served God. They forgot God. I mean, the cycle goes on. God knows. That's why he sent Jesus, to redeem, to provide a plan so that we can, in the moment of our mess up, fall on our knees and say, God, forgive me, and he redeems you, and the rest of your day, week, life is not ruined. It's redeemed. It is that simple. You build a reputation by one choice at a time. So Naomi builds this reputation and showcases God in such a way that Ruth would make this kind of declaration to her. I hope to God that if someone ever meets me and I'm all they know about Jesus, or I'm all they know about Christians or about Landmark, that I live in such a way that I live a life of no compromise, and I live in such a way that it gives God an amazing name that would be enough to turn someone from their old way of life and walk into the unknown. That's what it means, doing the right thing, making the right choice, living the right way. It doesn't happen in one huge, big decision. It happens little decisions at a time. The enemy is so sly. He loves to twist truth. Young people and young adults, and maybe those that are really new in your faith, you have got to know Scripture, because the enemy will come sounding like truth. You may read something on social media or in a book that sounds like truth, and if you don't know the Word of God enough, you may even build a life on that truth that in and of itself is twisted. The enemy knows Scripture. That's why he can twist it and distort it. And when he does that, his goal is to steal, kill, and destroy you. His goal is to get you one subtle compromise at a time. One tiny little, it's not going to make that big of a difference. It's not, you're all alone. No one's ever going to know. Well, guess what? Naomi was in this house teaching. And those girls, you better believe, were watching every move she made. She may not have thought they were watching, but they were watching. They watched when she prayed. They watched when she prepped the food. They watched how she talked with her husband, how she talked with her kids, how she dealt with her grief, how she would talk about God and tell them the stories of old. And they were watching. And what they were watching and what they were seeing was a woman who wouldn't compromise, a woman who did the right thing and made the right choice and lived in such a right way based on God, Almighty God, that Ruth said, how can I not go? How can I not go? So she makes this declaration. She was determined. She was steadfast. And further into chapter 2, we see that that determination and that steadfastness also went into the care of Naomi. Ruth wanted to take care of her mother-in-law. In chapter 2, verse 2, Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. Naomi said, go ahead, my daughter. So she went out and began to glean behind the harvesters. Here's the thing. The story of Ruth is so cool. It should make all of us stop and just be like, stand and give God the standing ovation. Because it's so cool. Hear this. So being a foreigner and a widower in Bible times, they couldn't work for their own money. They couldn't work. So they would go behind the workers in the field, and they could glean everything that would fall. That was a provision God had made before Ruth and Naomi were even born. A provision God had made for Ruth, a person not even alive and breathing yet. God had already made, back in the law of Moses, God had made provision for her. If God would go to the extreme to make provision for a people not yet born, don't you think he has already made provision for you? He's about the details. She just so happened to come to the field that was Boaz's. She just so happened to stumble upon the one who would be the kinsman redeemer. She just so happened to say, Naomi, you know what? I think I'll go with you. No. God was orchestrating all of this. Why? Let's go to the end of the story and spoil it. Verse 16 of chapter 4 says, then Naomi took the child. Oh, by the way, Ruth and Boaz, they like fall in love and they have a baby named Boaz. Here's the really cool thing though. Commentators believe Ruth was married to her husband for 10 years and they had no children. So they're saying that she was probably barren. She marries Boaz, and it says, the Lord enabled her to conceive. When a woman was barren in those days and she got pregnant, everyone looked upon her as if God has favored you, God has blessed you. She was a foreigner in this land, and Almighty God was putting his stamp of approval, his blessing. Hey, another piece to this puzzle, do you know who Boaz's mom was? Rahab, the prostitute from the book of Joshua. Are you seeing something here? Are you seeing this, like, don't tell me God can't use you. Don't tell me God can't take a messed up past and redeem it for his glory. Don't tell me that your choices have made you far too gone and you have fallen off the train of the call of God on your life. Are you kidding me right now? God had already made provision. He brought the spies in and met them up with Rahab. Rahab goes and lives her life, and she has a son named Boaz. Boaz has this field. Ruth, coincidentally, I think not, happens upon his field. And Boaz, this is the thing too. I'm all over the book because I've been reading it so much. Before Boaz and Ruth even meet, Boaz is like, hey, to his workers, who is she? And they're like, this is Ruth. And they start giving Boaz her reputation. She didn't come into this town saying, you know what, I'm gonna find a tall, dark, and handsome man. I'm gonna fall in love. I'm gonna have me some babies. No, she came to serve her mother-in-law, Naomi. This is where you stand if you want to go on a soapbox. If you're single, I know who you are, so I can look you in the eye. Ruth did not go striving to find a husband. Ruth didn't go thinking Naomi's going to give me the hookup in this town because these are her peeps and she knows and she's going to play, you know, eHarmony.com right here and hook me up with somebody. That was not Ruth's intent. Ruth had her eyes on God, on serving in the place God had planted her, being determined in the place God had planted her, and all of a sudden, say that to yourself, single people, all of a sudden, she happened upon the field of Boaz. If you're single and you want to be married someday, trust God. Don't push the timing. Coming from someone who married Jimmy when we were 28 years old, I understand a small bit about being single for a long time. It's not long. It's not as long as some, and it was shorter for some people, but you hear what I'm saying. God has a call on your life, single or married. He knows. He made provision for Ruth before Ruth was even breathing. Don't you think he knows who you're going to marry? How many kids you're going to have or not have, and the call of God you're going to have on your life? He knows, and he is working all things together. So trust him. Stop striving and just be obedient to the place God has planted you. Be obedient to the place God has planted you. And then, ladies, you will just happen upon Boaz's field, and Boaz, without you even knowing, is going to be like, who's that? And the God's going to be like, hello. You see, that's what happened with Jimmy and I. Just kidding. I was dumb and blind. But that was that. God cares about the details of your life. And that is what the book of Ruth says to me. If he cared enough to make provision for the gleaners, If he cared enough to orchestrate this beautiful string of events to where this is what happens, right? Ruth just wasn't I didn't think Ruth was going to come into the story, so I need to have a spot for her. That was not God's intent. How do I know? Let's keep reading. So in chapter 4, verse 14, skip down to 16. Then Naomi took the child that Ruth and Boaz had in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. If we follow that, read the book of Matthew, that is the lineage of Jesus Christ. You can't tell me Ruth was just a happy accident. God saw this all happening before Ruth was even alive. So I feel so strong in my spirit today that someone here today needs to hear this. God is working out the details of your life, even if you don't even see it. Even if you don't even trust him to do it, he's still doing it. He cares that much about your life and the part you play in the redemption story of mankind. You can trust him. So what can we learn about Ruth? She was determined. And when I was reading this, the song that kept coming into my mind was, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Orpah was in the same house as Ruth for 10 years. And she chose to go back. There will be some that may be with you serving the Lord 10 years, 20 years, and they may still choose to go back. Will you still choose to go forward? Will you still be determined, even if it means you go by yourself? Because young people, we need a generation of young people who will be so determined that the enemy cannot get them off track with loneliness, that they would know they are surrounded, like Hebrews tells us, surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that we would be their champions telling them, you can do this. You can do this. I know it's hard. There's going to be days you have to walk alone, but that's why God said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you, because it is imperative to the full spectrum of the redemption of God that you stay determined and you stay steadfast and you stay committed to Almighty God. It will be worth it in the end. Ruth was determined. And then we get into the complex part of Ruth. She was determined. The next thing we know about her, she was obedient. Naomi plays a likeness to the Holy Spirit in this story. The Bible tells us that Jesus says in John chapter 14 that I will give you the Spirit of truth, who will lead you and who will guide you. Remember at the very beginning, I said we can't do the right thing if that right thing's not based on truth, okay? So Naomi was her source of capital T truth. And they had such a relationship that Ruth trusted Naomi with her very life and did what we read in chapter 3, verse 5. Ruth says, I will do whatever you say. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. Oh, that we would be a people that would tell the Holy Spirit, I will do whatever you say. You can't tell me that Ruth understood all of the customs of that day. Yes, living with her for 10 years, I really don't think that came up. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. But Ruth didn't have to have all of the answers in order to submissively obey Naomi. And I say that word with caution. Not really, because I'm going to blow that out of the water. We hear submission, and I think in the day we live, it tends to make some women kind of rise up and be like, I am not a doormat. Well, good, neither am I, and that's not what the word means. I had, growing up, a living example of what biblical submission looks like. I had two very human parents, although I think that they are superhuman, but they're not. They're human. They make mistakes just like the rest of us. But they exemplified for me As a very strong-willed girl growing up, a very much anything you can do, I can do better girl growing up, sometimes got the better of me, but yeah, I mean, you know who my brother is. I had to fend for myself. But I've always been just a very strong woman and just never really felt, I have weaknesses, don't get me wrong, but I just have always had the strong, and that's because of my mom and my dad. But growing up, I saw them exemplify what true biblical submission looks like. It was not my dad lording over his authority, saying, do whatever I say, woman, or else. My mom was not a doormat. My dad did not walk all over my mom, and my mom did not, whatever you say, I have to do what you say because I'm submitting to you. That's not submission. Submission comes from trust. Think about it. My mom and dad trusted each other. My mom trusted in the relationship that they had. She trusted my dad to do the right thing. Why? My dad valued my mom's opinion. He valued her biblical wisdom. When she came and said and would say, sweetheart, I was praying about something and I really think this is the direction we need to take. It would confirm things in my dad's spirit. He wouldn't say, you don't know what you're talking about. Don't stop talking. This is my call to make. He gathered her intel because he respected it. And see, that's the thing in Ephesians 1 when it says to wives, be submissive to your husbands. We fail to read that before that, Paul tells the husbands to love your wives as Christ loves the church. It's when a husband respects the wife, she'll have no problem being submissive because the husband's not going to lord it over her. Does that make sense? And so outside of a marriage context, we see Ruth and Naomi exemplifying a beautiful submissive relationship. Like we are to submit to our elders. We are to submit to those God has put into authority over us. Doesn't mean we can't ask questions. But what it means, what it means, and I wrote it down because I didn't want to forget. It means that I submit my ways, my view of what's right, to my authority and higher to God and his ways. And take his word and make it my truth, my right way to live. Does that make sense? When I submit myself to the Lord, I'm saying, God, you know best. I don't. When it came to Ruth and Naomi, Naomi knew best because she knew the culture. Ruth didn't. And so Naomi would instruct and would only give her what she could handle. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. And Ruth was quick to obey because she trusted Naomi. Are we that quick to obey when the Holy Spirit leads us on a direction that doesn't make sense to us? We need to be, especially in the day that we live. We need to be quick to obey. We need to be quick to realize God is for you. He's not against you. When he may ask you to give up something or to release something into his hand, it's not because he's like, oh, because I can't, I want to see you squirm. No, it's because he knows it's not right for you. It may be the right thing and the wrong time. We need to hold out for the right thing at the right time. Amen? And trust that God knows what he's doing. So there's this beautiful submissive obedience that Ruth has about her. And it's in those small daily choices that she made. She didn't compromise in that. She didn't hear the instruction of Naomi and say, yeah, but I'm the one who's been in the field, so I know a better plan. Has anyone ever said that to God? Hello. She trusted Naomi, and then she obeyed. God blesses obedience. He does. He blesses obedience. It's a not my will, but yours be done. And that submission is fueled by trust. I know probably most of us believe in God. But my question to you would be, do you believe him? one of my favorite authors posed this question, and I was like, what? Think about it. We know we all believe there's a God. We believe in him. We believe God exists. We believe he sent Jesus to die for us on the cross, and we believe that eternity is waiting for us in heaven. But while you're here on earth, do you believe him? When he says, I'm for you, I'm not against you, do you believe it? When he says, that person you're praying for, I love them more than you, do you believe him? When he says, I'm working all things together for the good of those who love him, do you believe him? Do you believe him with the cares and the affairs of your life? Do you believe him when the healing is lasting longer than you would like? Do you believe him when the check you thought would come isn't coming when you thought it would come? Do you still believe him to be your provider? We can't submit to a God we don't trust. We can't submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit when we don't believe him. Maybe today you need a reawakening of your belief of God, believing he is true to his word, believing that what he says he will do, and believing what he says about you is true, that you are a son, you are a daughter, that he did pay a high price for you, that he is for you, he's not against you, and the road you are walking is not going to take you out, but will be for his glory. Do we believe him today? Ruth, they exemplify this relationship. Ruth believed Naomi and trusted her. So therefore, Ruth did everything Naomi asked her to do. And there we have the story of Ruth. It's all in the details. Ruth was determined. There was nothing that you could have done to make her change her mind, right? She was obedient. A quick obedience that was fueled by a submissive trust in an almighty God. And then lastly, once she had done all of those things, we get to see the redemption piece of the story of Ruth. It can be hard when you read the book of Judges and some of those stories. And I remember going to my dad saying, Dad, this is when I was younger and I had read one of the stories in Judges and it made me so sick to my stomach. And I said, Dad, how? And he just, you know, lovingly, like my dad always did, we sat down and we looked at scriptures and he would always say, but that's not the end of the story. But even in this horrific thing, when they cried out to God, God answered. No matter how many times we ourselves have gone through this cycle of belief and unbelief and sinning and oppression and crying out to God, and we feel maybe like we've done that too many times, let Judges and Ruth be a reminder that you haven't done it too many times, that God will still come and rescue. He will still come and save, and he will still, with you working with him, redeem the day. Amen. We see God's sovereign plan. We see that Ruth was a part of something bigger, and not just Ruth, but it includes us too. We see God's favor and God's blessing. We see that God opens her womb, and there we get Obed, who carries on the line to get us to Jesus. Living the right way, it's all based on Scripture. It's got to be based on this truth. Doing the right thing, making the right choice. It's a day in and day out decision to not compromise the values of Scripture, to speak out what Scripture says, to live out what Scripture says. Living the right way, God's way, requires that I submit my ways, my view of right, to God and his ways, and make his word and make it and take his word and make it my truth and make it my life and make it my right way to live. And when we do so, do it with a resolute, steadfast determination that we hold on to this truth, obey this truth, and live out this truth in each and every decision that we make. And when we do, we will stand in awe and wonderment at how God will use us as part of his redemption plan. Amen? Stand with me today, please. Jesus, right now, I just thank you so very much for the book of Ruth and all that it teaches us. And God, we don't even have time to scratch the surface of what Ruth and everything that's in here. But Lord, I thank you. I thank you, God, that you are not finished with us. We are part of this plan. And Lord, just like you were working out the details for the provision of Ruth and Naomi before they were even born, so too, God, you have already worked out the details and the provision for us before we were born. You saw our end from our beginning. And Lord, I pray that we would begin to just trust you. You know what's best. You know what's right. So, Lord, wherever you may lead us, whatever may or may not make sense, we declare to be determined to trust you. And, Lord, I pray that there would just be a fire rekindled in our spirit, not only for reading the word, but living the word, so that every choice we make will be filtered by doing the right thing. So that we make the right choice, so that we know we will be living in the right way, not perfect, but redeemed. We love you, Jesus. We pray a blessing on this day. We thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for your presence. I just pray a blessing on everyone that is here today. Lord, that they would just walk out of this building, know how much they are dearly loved by Almighty God. And in your precious and holy name, everyone said, amen. Be blessed today. Thank you so much for coming. Love on somebody before you leave. Have a great sunshiny day.